Welcome to a Sober Girls Guide podcast, a lifestyle podcast based on sobriety and recovery. I'm your host and sober girl, Jessica Jabot. Inspired by my own sobriety and wellness journey, I want to spread the wealth of knowledge. Tune in each week for uncensored conversations about mental health, self-development, wellness and spirituality, and how they influence each guest's unique recovery journey. My goal is to educate and inspire and to let you know you are not alone on your recovery journey. Thanks so much for tuning in to a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Let's go! Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 124 of a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Now, on my episodes with guests, we kind of have a general direction of where the conversation's going. I kind of know what we're going to talk about. And I thought I did when I was entering this conversation with Samantha. This conversation is a perfect example to what can happen if you just kind of open yourself up and trust the process. This is such an interesting conversation. We had all these health and fitness and gut health conversations planned, but I think this conversation was so much better and so much more interesting. This is such a wild episode and such a great conversation, and I love where it went. So let's get into it. Sam, what is going on?
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Where in the world are you?
I'm in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, damn. Is it hot out there?
It's actually like really, really nice out the past two days. It's been like 104, 106. But I love the heat. So it's on my damn.
Yeah, I definitely like the heat too. And I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I've been getting ripped off this summer. It hasn't been as hot as like, I'm in Vancouver, Canada right now, and it's like, usually it gets pretty hot up here. Not like 100, but like close. We have like heat waves, but like it freaking rained. Like,
it's been pretty rainy. Is it humid?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's like hot yoga outside usually.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's really fun. Like, you're just sweating. It's like Miami, like South Beach. Just... you walk out of the house and your like elbows are sweating. You're like, how did this happen?
I'll go on like dates with people and I'll be like, I can just feel it like down the back, eyes like dripping. And I'm just like, I should just not even do this during the summer. I'm the one who's like, I'm going to bring my dog and I'm going to like, I don't even care about the date. Like, I literally am trying to like buy time to take my dog out so I create a coffee date out of it.
Oh my God. You're like, that's the ultimate maximizing time. I love it.
Right.
That's right. Amazing. Sam, I definitely want to talk about like what you do and get into nutrition and hormones and gut health and all that good stuff. I have so many questions. But I would love to hear your BS story. So your before sobriety story, what did it look like? Give us the behind the scenes and what is your relationship with alcohol now?
All right. Well, drugs are a massive part of my story.
Mm-hmm.
But in a nutshell, I don't have a nutshell version of it, actually.
I don't want the nutshell. Give it to me.
I was like, I don't really have a little squirrel version.
Yeah.
So, you know, I drank for the first time. I was in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that I stopped. Like, you know what I mean? It was like that classic story where you started and but I didn't have that like, oh my God, like my life is great. I'm an extrovert. I'm more of an extrovert sober probably than I am when I'm using.
Interesting.
So it didn't help me get out of my shell and be like the crazy person.
Right.
I mean, I definitely had a lot of more sexual interactions, I would say, when I drank. But as far as like, friendships and things like that, like it was just, I became a little bit more isolated. I didn't like to feel out of control. I was a blackout drinker from the get-go.
Okay.
I had a lot of like key moments where I should have like figured it out very early in life, but I didn't.
Sure.
Eighth grade, I got arrested for smoking pot on a school field trip. for our graduation, got in trouble. Didn't really learn a lesson from that. Then my parents sent me away to this like boot camp boarding school, I think in like freshman year, because I was so out of control. Of high school, I got some girl got a bottle of vodka shipped in there. I just know I was like on a flight home at 5 a.m. Right. So like it just kept going. And then, I was always into sports. I was a really good athlete. I was a synchronized swimmer, did really well in that. I like cool. I was a swimmer, a rower. What else did I do? I was a national champion in our varsity boat for rowing.
Okay.
And then I went to University of Michigan and I drank a lot there. I mean, I partied all through high school for sure, but it wasn't, to me, I look back and I don't feel like it was anything like too, any more than what everybody else was doing to some degree. But I definitely had consequences. I then went to University of Michigan where I drank, but like I didn't do drugs, anything like that. I drank like the normal person, but I was always a blackout drinker. So I don't remember really what I did. I remember there were definitely moments where I woke up with like crazy stuff on my face. And then I stopped everything. I had a really bad breakup. And I was really depressed and things were not going well. And that's where I got back into sports. I started teaching spinning. I kind of went back on my health journey. I've always been into health. I've always tried to find like alternative holistic routes, I think, of health. But then I ended up going junior year to visit a friend in California. And this is where like shit got kind of real for me. Okay. And I got introduced to the gay scene, and it's nothing against the gay boys at all.
Yeah.
It's just, there's definitely a lifestyle there that's nothing I had ever experienced. And that's when I started. I don't know. They love their drugs and their drugs worked for me. It wasn't alcohol. And GHB was my best friend. It's all the great things of alcohol without the bad things.
Okay.
And then eventually I got introduced to meth, which was all the great things of cocaine without the bad things of cocaine for me.
Okay.
When I did meth, I was 100% self-medicating for my ADD and ADHD. It took me down to a level of normalcy that I thought, like, I didn't even know was something that I could achieve. Like, I was able to write paper tests. I was focused. My brain was not, like, wiring 100,000 different directions, which is I think part of maybe why I used for sure, which caused anxiety. I mean, I had been diagnosed with all things and prescribed all the medications, but I never took a pharmaceutical, which is the weird part about all of this. Like I never,
how come?
I don't know. I was around it growing up. Maybe it's a thing where you can have, like if I had had sugar and drugs and all the things around me, maybe I would have never done it. But I just, my dad was a doctor and like there, I mean, it was around, he was an orthopedic surgeon. I don't know. I felt like it was around, but I never talked. Which is funny because now I do like functional medicine where it's like exactly that, where you just don't take medicine. So it was the meth, the GHB, the ketamine, the ecstasy. In a nutshell, I was helping launch vodka in when I was at Michigan. I still wasn't drinking. And I was going to help work for that company in LA with the distributor and launch it. But that job fell through. And that's when I decided to become a DJ. So I bought some turntables and I decided that I was going to be a famous DJ in LA. Like I was like, there's actually no women doing this. This is perfect.
Yeah.
I have like the business mind. Like I'm always like, it doesn't stop. Like all these ideas about business.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. And I bought these turntables and I made it like happen. Like I did really well. I was DJing all over LA and California. I had a gig in Hong Kong. I was doing well in that area. But I was also using more and I started selling drugs. And then that sort of just grew. You know, my mindset was, well, I'm going to get busted if I continue with these little teeny bags of shit and people come, like 100 people coming to my apartment, and the paranoia and like all the stuff started happening. So I was like, well, wise thing to do is to just sell large quantities a couple times a month. Right. And be like a Sam's Club. So that's, that was
the Costco of drugs.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Right.
This is like, your thinking is so off. I mean, I shouldn't even be selling drugs.
Well, yeah, yes.
Right. But I had to pay for my habit to make it okay. I didn't want to, like, I can't use work money. I can't get money from my parents. I mean, I cut myself off from my family, like, very, as fast as I could. I mean, they've helped me a lot in my life, but, like, I'm not one who was like, oh, I need help with rent. I need this. Like, I really, like, I was doing stuff. I knew what I was doing was wrong enough that I needed to get away from anything associated with them as fast as I could.
Okay.
And so that's what I did. And I was selling a lot of drugs. And 2 weeks before I got busted, I quit selling drugs. I was like, I, you know, I'm done with this. This is insane. I went to University of Michigan. Like, I can't live this life anymore. I was in a severely abusive relationship on and off. Like, I couldn't get this guy out of my life. Like, if you meet me now, you would never think in my right mind I would ever be in a relationship where someone was like abusive and like would steal my dog and tie my dog up. Like, just crazy. It's crazy. You know, like when you're in it, shit's crazy.
It's different. It's different though. When you're in an abusive relationship, it's so easy for us to be like, oh, well, why don't you just leave?
You're scared. It's, I mean, so when I would try to, she would scream out my window, I was a drug dealer. Right.
Mm-hmm.
He was nuts. And, I mean, I was just, I just knew, you know, I was just knew like eventually I'd be sick and tired of being sick and tired, and let's just hope I don't fucking die. Where I was at. I had a friend of mine over, I remember a couple weeks before I quit selling drugs, and he was like going around the floor, like looking for meth. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, I'm a drug addict. And I'm like, it's like, you know, and even then I was like, well, I didn't even like associate myself as a drug addict. And this, I was like deep into it.
Right.
And I'm like, what? Like, drug addicts live out of cars and like, you're living on Skid Row. Like, what? No, like, you know, and sure enough, then I quit selling drugs. And then I had a full SWAT raid at my house.
Oh,
I know. So bad. I'm like a humor girl. It's not funny, but it's kind of funny now.
Well, now. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't change anything. And my ex-boyfriend, that guy. So my dealer got busted, and when they raided his house, they left 8 gallons of GHB at the house.
Okay.
And they didn't take it, which right there is just weird. But my ex was still like very active in his addiction, very, very sick. It was very sloppy, brought it to my apartment and hid it there. So that got tracked to my home, and I was leaving my house, and I had a full, like, full, you would have thought the president was being attacked in my apartment, at least in my opinion.
Whoa.
Guns everywhere, full SWAT raid, everything, searched my apartment. I mean, talk about humility. They sit you out on your front porch. They've had like a hoodie over my head, like all gangstered out. Like, I was like,
oh my gosh, it's like a movie.
My neighbors kind of know me. And I sat out there for 4 hours while they went through my house. And I got checked in at LA County or Beverly Hills. I went to Beverly Hills for a night.
Yeah.
And $500,000 bail.
Oof.
Which is insane now that I watch, right? You watch the news now and there's child molesters that are getting like $10,000. I'm like,
yeah, that's insane.
And I don't even know why. I think it was scare tactic. I really couldn't tell you. I got out the next day. They wanted to know where someone was and wanted me to snitch. And my guy had been busted.
Okay.
So I just got like, I don't think I would have snitched anyone out, but I didn't even have to like think about it.
Yeah.
I was like, you got my guy. And they're like, well, we need to find this person. I'm like, well, I don't know who that person is. So the next day I got out.
Okay.
Get home. And on my front porch are two guys. And I'm like, oh, you're back. great. I was like, what's up? And they're like, what are you talking about? So it was the Missouri Federal Postal Investigators. And they're like, well, we just heard there was some activity at your house. I'm like, you're from Missouri. You're from the feds. And it just, yeah. And so I'm like, oh, fuck. So they sat me down. They told me my best friend, who I used to ship drugs to Missouri, like a long time ago, had gotten busted and told them everything. And like, she snitched me out. They know it all. And they were basically telling me it was all lies, come to find out. I know, but you know, I was like, I don't know. I just felt like, okay. I remember a phone call with her, and it was really, really sketchy. And for like, my higher power was on my side, I guess, at that point a little bit, where like, I was intuitive enough to know like, something's not right.
Okay.
And I didn't answer any of her questions, but I was also mumbling so bad. So when I was on drugs, I mumbled. Like, I couldn't understand a word that I said. And I think it's because I did not sleep. Because I get like that when I don't sleep now.
Okay.
I don't know. So at that point, you know, I just stopped talking to her. So that all happened. Okay. And I just sort of like lived in this fear, and I was still using, but not, I was cutting back. I remember like I was like just doing a little bit of meth, and I'd try to have a glass of wine, which was just weird. You know, and my good friend went to
class it up with a glass of wine. Wicked combination.
And it wasn't even like the good wine. Like, it's just like probably the cheapest shit. I didn't know anything about wine.
Right.
You know, I drink liquor. Like, that's my thing.
Okay.
And, you know, I was looking at prison time, potentially a federal case.
Whoa.
A friend of mine went to rehab. I had visited him, and he's like, you really should go.
Okay.
Like, you know, and that's where it sort of like, it's like the seed was like dropped into my head. I was like, okay, I don't know what this is about. Like, I've seen it on TV. Like, I don't know, you know? So I called my parents. I asked my dog, and I said, do you think I should go to rehab? And my dog came over and put her head on my lap. And I was like, okay, called my parents, told them I needed treatment. I told them I have like something's going on. Like, I want to go to rehab, but I'm only going to go to one that has a pool, and I'm only going for 28 days.
What? Why 28 days?
Because I'm a fucking control freak and I'm an addict.
Okay.
What's the 2 more days going to do? Right?
I don't know. Yeah. Who knows?
No, I had to negotiate. I had to have it my way, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I ended up going, and it was fine. Well, I ended up telling him about a rehab that was like in Malibu. That was like, no, like there's no AA program. You're not going. And I'm like, oh, okay. So they found one with a pool, Cornerstone in Orange County.
Okay.
That had a pool that I never even got in.
Great.
And it changed my life. I walked in, never looked back. Like, I was just so done.
Wow.
It was amazing experience. It was like that pink cloud. I had that pink cloud for probably 9 years.
Whoa.
I went to prison with the pink cloud. I did 27 months federal time.
Whoa.
I had LA time. I was just so grateful not to be where I was. I mean, I can't even tell you. Like, my life was just awful. I remember seeing the guy that I was dating at court.
Yeah.
After I got sober, I was like, what?
Like, yeah, like, who would do this?
It's crazy. It just it was so easy to just be like, I don't have nothing, I don't want anything to do with you. I was so afraid of him before. It's crazy. It was crazy.
Right.
And
wow.
Yeah. But
hold on, I have a question.
Okay.
Like, so I'm hearing like these contingencies for going to rehab, must have pool, only going for 28 days. And then we jump to like 9 years of a pink cloud. Like, how did that even happen?
Dude, it's like, I stopped using meth, and like, life, I was like laughing again. It was like, life was just so good. It was so good. It was so good to be sober. I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah.
I felt like I was like human again.
Yeah.
I was so far removed from reality. Like, then I really thought I like had it going on. Like, I really thought I was doing okay.
Yeah.
My moral compass was still like deep in there somewhere. And that's probably my saving grace.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was so grateful. I was so grateful. I just,
wow.
I don't even know. I just rode that wave and I did. I knew my best decision was my worst. I had enough consequences to scare me straight. I mean, I had plenty. I probably didn't even need the prison stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know,
how was prison? Extra, holy shit.
Throw the extra kicker in there to really teach me. So I was good, but it doesn't end.
Okay.
So I had 13 years sober.
Okay.
And everybody has their own path.
Yeah.
Honestly. So my husband had 24 years or something like that.
Okay.
Trying to get pregnant, like lay the scene. You know, he got sober at 16. So if I got sober,
How old were you when all this was going on?
I was 26 when I went to rehab.
Okay.
I'm 42 now.
Okay. Gotcha.
I feel like I'm 80 some days though.
No. Absolutely not. I mean, we've lived big lives in a very short amount of time.
Yeah. I just feel like I have a lot of longevity in my family. So like my grandma was like, probably like she was 102. So I think at least I've hopefully knocked off like 20 years and I can just die at like 87 or something, wherever it lands me. I'm good. But now I have a kid. So I guess it's a little different.
Yeah.
So he had a lot of sobriety, but he got sober really early.
Okay.
And I regret ever saying it, but like he was it was so difficult. I don't know.
Okay.
But I remember being like, man, you should just smoke some weed. Like he didn't sleep. Like I would be like, and I was kind of like, he got sober at 16. Like maybe. And he said he did not have a story like mine. Like he, so anyway, he started drinking and using pot when I was pregnant. I was trying to get pregnant and I had a really hard time getting pregnant. And I think that obsessive compulsive addict behavior started to begin again, trying to get pregnant, like the infertility treatment, like all that was like, you have no control of your body. Like, it's like, you become like, we have those minds that like, it was like my ism just started again, I think. And I stopped going to meetings. And I swear, I think I was probably counting the days in the back of my mind, not even realizing it, like when I was pregnant to when I wasn't pregnant and I could have a drink with him.
Wow. Okay.
And then my child was born and you might as well have pulled the rug out from under me. I was not ready for that at all. I'm not like a mama bear. Like, that's not my thing. My pregnancy sucked. I thought it was going to be great. And I was going to be like a cute girl walking around. I was miserable. I was swollen. I was sick. I was like, if you want birth control, I can tell you about being pregnant.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't working. I love to work. It's literally I have my recovery, I need to be thriving at work and everything is good. I mean, I love my kid, but I'm real good when I'm having that like little process.
Yeah.
Postpartum, you know, my husband cheated on me 7 months. My kid was 7 months. I mean, it was a lot for me. And I wasn't trying not to drink. And I was like, well, I've never really drank. So, you know, I'll be all right.
Right.
So I started drinking.
Okay.
And it was for a while until it wasn't. I kind of like was like on and off. I was at one point when told my husband, like, if this is going to work and we're going to like try this, we need to be sober.
Yeah.
You know, and he wouldn't do it. And I stayed sober for a while. And, I mean, I had a really hard time when my kid went to his dad 50% of the time. There was a lot of separation anxiety, a lot of issues with that, was happening, a lot of things from our marriage, a lot of things from my past relationships. So I just didn't want to feel anything, you know, the deal.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't even care about drinking. I didn't want to drink. I knew it was wrong, but I didn't want to deal with life. And so my goal was to do exactly what I did. And that would be like black the fuck out.
Yep.
I could drink a bottle of gin, like no other. I would not stop. I used to not be able to relate to the people in the meetings because a lot here it's like mostly AA. I couldn't relate to the people in the meetings. They're like, you'd leave your kid doing what? You'd drive drunk, you'd be drinking, picking up from daycare. Like, right. You know what I mean? And I was suddenly doing all those things. And I'm like,
uh-oh.
This is a disease. This is some serious shit. This is not good. And then COVID.
Yeah.
It was just very isolating. My home was like my worst place. And yeah, so I relapsed like hard. Mm. And it was so hard to get sober. And I finally got it. I was going to 2 meetings a day. I was chairing meetings. I was doing everything. Yeah. And then eventually I knew I had to lose something. Like, as you can see in my story, I got to have some serious consequences. So I was waiting and hoping it wasn't my kid. And mm-hmm. I lost a guy that I had really, I fell in love with him. Mm-hmm. He taught me to love again, I think, for the first time in a very long time. And I had a really, really close friend that I lost. And I think the combination of the two.
Yeah.
And just having a really good sponsor, I was like, I'm done. And like, I could click with my higher power. I had a bat mitzvah. I don't know. I just got it. And
you had a bat mitzvah?
Right. I did. I had a bat
mitzvah.
I know, as an adult. It's so fucking weird.
That's cool. I love doing that. I think it's really cool, like, to find, you know, we're finding pieces of ourselves, right? Or we're discovering like pieces of ourselves. And that includes like, you know, religion, that includes like church, that includes faith, that can include spirituality, it includes everything.
Yeah. I've always wanted to have one, and I grew up with no religion.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. My son is the prodigy of two addicts. And I struggled a little bit with the God thing and the higher power. I don't think I really got the higher power thing the first time.
Sure.
I just got it. I just got lucky. I got 13 years of lucky.
Okay.
And was super happy with where I was at. I mean, I prayed, but like, it wasn't how it is now.
Yeah.
When I was in prison though, dude, the shit that religion did for people was unbelievable. Like, really? I've never seen, like, it gives me chills every time I think about it. I've never seen the power of something be so great in my life. I went to sweat lodges with the Native Americans. I was like,
okay,
boss dog. I went to sweat lodges with the Native Americans. I would go with the Wiccans. There was one Jewish woman. I would do Jewish shit with her. I would go to church with my cellmate. It's like, I didn't have a kid. I was 26.
Yeah. And you're in prison. What else do you have to do?
I was at federal prison camp with no bail. I learned how to drive a bunch of cool machines. Like, I can thrive where I can live anywhere. Like,
yeah,
I feel like I was thriving in there. Like, I was making the best of it, but I didn't have a kid. Right. So that's a game changer. My cellmate, to put in perspective, the religion part. So her son was literally being like raised by like Hell's Angels. Like, he was like 3. That's like a biker gang. That's like no joke.
Yeah. I
mean, she had zero control over what was going on with her child who was 3. So if you have a kid, like, that puts it, like, that says something right there. Her mom was dying, and you're either allowed to get a visit to go see them before they die or go to the funeral. She was not allowed to do either. I mean, it just was like, and shit just got worse for her. Mm. And she read that fucking Bible and went to fucking church. And it was like, I'm like, I don't know how that's helping you, but it's helping. Like, it was the power of religion.
Yeah.
It was insane. Like, I'm not like a Bible thumper or anything, but like, I do think having some sort of foundation as a child, doesn't matter what it is. You can choose whatever the hell you want to do when you're older. I do not care. But even if it's like totally just some spiritual light, having something when you are young, to be able to understand that you have the ability to pray to something outside yourself to help you get something hard, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that it's not all on you. Like, there's something greater. I don't know about you, but I believe there is something greater, whether it be like an energy, a man in the sky, like whatever you want to picture it as. But like, it's not just us. And there's stuff that is very much out of our control. Most of it is out of our control, let's be honest. But like, yeah, and it also allows spaces for like miracles to happen, or like just open up possibilities for things to happen, because we can get very closed-minded. We can, and if we don't see it, how can we believe it? If we can't believe it, how can it be done? You know, it's, it broadens your mind and broadens your perspective.
Oh yeah. And like, if you start to like pay attention to like, so I had a lot of like weird, like intuitive stuff as a child, and very like the universe would tell me, like, there, it sounds so funny. I hate when people talk like this.
No, it's not.
But like the universe would like present things to me that would be like really like off the, like you'd be like, how is this even happening? And it is it is like nonstop in my life now, like to the point where it can be like overwhelming at times. Like so here's an example. I was I had my bat mitzvah. Okay. I spoke of the woman, the one Jewish woman who was at, I talked about the, why I'm doing the bat mitzvah, the religion, blah, blah, blah. I talked about the Jewish woman. And that next weekend I was out in Miami at a biohacking conference and I look over and she's fucking standing there.
What?
And I'm like, what the?
And like, how long had it been since you even seen her, talked to her?
I literally just spoke about her at my bat mitzvah.
Whoa, that's her cool.
Her parents belong to that temple.
What?
I mean, just weird shit. Like shit like that happens. It doesn't just happen. Like that's something that's like, I don't know what it means, but you know, I've never been into angel numbers, and like I was praying for a sign for something, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I was like 11:11 on the clock, and then it was 111. Mm-hmm. And then I was starting to get all the angel numbers, and literally like since that happened, like I get them like nonstop. Mine are like 11:11 and 111, but like some days I'll get 111, 222, 323. And like, it's funny, I text them, all my friends, or like, I'll be on the phone and they're like, you really aren't trying to see those. Like, it's like, it's just like, I'll literally like look down and be like, holy shit, 333.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Like there's some weird shit. Like I am telling you, I could go on about all the, like,
I love that. I think it's so cool. I had two
dreams about a woman who lived in the apartment building where I got raided. I had two dreams that she wasn't doing well. I literally texted her yesterday and she was like, I'm in chemo treatment. I was like, yeah, it's weird.
Whoa.
You're going to get the angel.
You can tap into like energies.
I don't know. I swear. Yeah. I think that's part of why I probably was using drugs, because I think it was overwhelming as a child.
Yeah. And especially as a kid, because you don't know how to filter them yet. Like you're just so open and susceptible to all these energies. So it's like,
it sounds crazy. Like I'm pretty like, I don't know, like I'm like, eh. But like,
I mean, everyone can be a bit skeptic, but like, there's just some stuff you can't deny.
No.
You just can't.
I pray for answers for things. Like I thought I was going to relapse when my dog died. Yeah. I put a 5-year-old dog down and I prayed. Like I came home and was like, this is it. This is what's, I was like, I've been through all this shit and this is the one that's going to get me. This is dog.
Yeah.
And a cardinal flew into my house 20 minutes after I put the dog down. And if you Google it, it's a spirit of a dead loved one is watching over you. It's so
that's wild. I love on
this guy, that guy broke my heart, and I was like, he didn't break my heart. He didn't do anything, but I was praying on that, and it's funny. My sponsor's like, careful, sometimes you got to pray and duck, because I literally was praying on it, and I opened a dating app for the first time in like 2.5 years, and he was the second person who came up.
No,
like, well, I guess I got my answer.
Oh my gosh. How funny is that?
But that's the blessings of sobriety. When I was fucked up, I was so like, I was so far from being in tune with anything.
Yeah. You were so far from being yourself.
Oh yeah. It's awful.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back. It was so hard to get sober. That was some crazy shit. But
do you think it was harder the kind of like the second time around, or the third, or?
Well, you're using with the program in your head, or that what you know.
Well, all the stuff you know. Yeah. And
so that's sort of eating at you. But like, I don't know. Yeah. It was the physical part. Like I couldn't, I didn't think that I was having DTs, but I think like the cravings that would start at the same time every day was me. Like I would be detoxing and I would like my body be like, you need to go now. Right. I guess. I don't know. It was, I knew I could rationalize all of it in my head, right? I knew what was wrong and right. I knew what I needed to do. I was like, I had post-its everywhere. I had all the shit, right?
Right.
But there's must be some little piece of me that was just still holding on to it. Like there was no accountability too. I was just alone in my house. Like, so like,
right.
You know,
that's the worst.
Yeah. And in the end, I wasn't being totally honest, which is like, I'm a really honest person, like to a fault. And it all just started just eating at me and I couldn't get it. I just couldn't get it. It was so fucking hard.
Yeah.
It was, I don't even know. I would pace back and forth from my car and just be like, don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go, don't do it. Don't do it. I call people and then I'm like, well, I called someone. I'm going to go to the gas. I just couldn't. So,
but you did it.
I did. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. And I know now, like I've had 9 lives.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think I have any more left in me. And my kid knows me. He's never going to know me fucked up. And I see like how much better of a mom, how much more rewarding it is. Like, oh, oof. Like maybe I am maternal. I'm just was like in another world.
Yeah.
Everything's better. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's hard. Like when you said like, you're not a mama bear, like, I get that because it's like, it's really hard and terrifying to love someone, like, especially your kid, because it's like, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like to love someone like that much. And you're just like, oh my God, like, this is like overwhelming me. And like, what happens if like something happens to this love?
Oh God, I went through that whole thing.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I was like, I can see if he was breathing. And I'm like, I was like, so he was going to his dad and his dad was actively doing his thing. And he, the first time he ever slept away from me, he stayed at an Airbnb after my ex had left. He got an Airbnb. He stayed there. First night he was there, this is a baby. He got a sitter for like 6 hours, went off and played hockey. The sitter had no emergency contact, no nothing. My kid had never met the sitter, like nothing. So that was my first night away from my child. And then I had to keep doing it. And then it went to 50-50. And it was like, I mean, I got very, very blessed that COVID hit in the middle of my first transition of the 50-50. Because at least I knew he wasn't going out and doing anything, but then he still really was. Like I would find out, I'd call my kid and he'd pick up the phone and he'd be like, I don't know where daddy is. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
So like, I think I've been in so many, I've had my heart and I can't blame anyone. I think I put my heart out there. It's just what I do. I have many chapters of love is what I say. So I think part of it was like, I sort of reached my limit. Like, I couldn't do it anymore. Like it was my son, unfortunately, like he's paying the price for all the damage, that like all the pain. And I just couldn't like get it back. But I know like today, like it's slowly getting back and like being with that last guy, like,
yeah,
that, I mean, I think I really loved him. Like whether he and I were so far from being, I'm such a different person now than I was then.
Yes.
But like, whatever it was, he was put into my life for a reason.
Yeah.
He had 7 years sober. I mean, he was put there for a reason. And I know that I learned to love. And I also learned to like go through some serious pain sober. So,
Well, shout out to the ones that teach us love and a little bit of pain too.
I know.
Right. So Samantha, I want to touch on what you're doing now. I mean, we kind of like, we just had such a great conversation. I didn't want to stop it, but tell me what you're doing now with nutrition and all that good stuff.
All right. So I am throughout my life. I was this is going to be the nutshell version. I was sick a lot. I was sick like diagnosed with IBS, all these blanket terms, put on medications, taken off medications. I honestly, probably the best I felt was when I was using drugs.
Okay.
I wasn't sick with something.
Just
when I would eat sick, it's like, I wasn't like, I didn't have a cold where it was very apparent. It was like this very underlying, I don't feel good. I'm always tired. I have severe stomach problems. I'm always constipated.
Right.
Like something wasn't right. I don't know what it was necessarily, but after I got out of prison, I became a personal trainer.
Okay.
And I could not get well. Like I had cystic acne. I got in prison. I've never had a zit like in my life.
Yeah.
My periods were all the time. I could not lose weight. I was doing all the right things that they say. Like I was calorie counting. Mm-hmm. I was eating super clean. I was working out more and more and more and more, and then eventually eating less and less and less. And I was like gaining weight and feeling worse.
What?
I had diarrhea. So like all that shit, you're reading Shape Magazine, like you might as well just throw it out. Because nobody looks at stress, hormones, the gut, heavy metal toxicity, mold toxicity. There's so many things that are thrown into daily living that you don't even know that are impacting your health. So like you could be sitting in a house with three air fresheners and that can be a hormone disruptor causing you issues, you know? So I was estrogen dominant. I had severe GI problems. Turns out I had a ton of parasites, a bacterial overgrowth, a lot of stuff in my gut, a ton of food sensitivities. And so I got introduced to functional lab testing. So
okay,
these are specialty labs that will test for all different things going on that you can get, like at a GI doctor, you can get your hormones tested, but it's all insurance based. So it's going to be the quality is not as good as the labs that I would run. I do double on everything. So I work with a lot of women. I work with men, but mostly women who are basically sick and tired of being sick and tired. They're running their head against the wall. They're not getting any results. They feel like shit. They aren't sleeping. They have night sweats, hot flashes, anxiety. They crave sugar. They can't lose weight no matter what they do. They're doing all this cardio, which is actually the worst thing you could probably be doing in that situation. And they're doing what, you know, Shape Magazine and all the things and Google tells you, but like there's a root cause. So I basically do like root cause like work. So I figure out what the root cause is. So you may be diagnosed with like irritable bowel syndrome. Well, that means like that really doesn't mean anything.
Right.
So what's causing your bowels to be irritable? Like, how about we figure that out? Like they don't give you medication, a doctor.
Right.
And so I will do testing to see if you have a parasite or underlying infection in your gut or whatever it is. Mm. And we clear that out and then we heal your gut. And I teach you a lot. Mm. It's a very educational journey. I don't do fad diets. It's really healthy. I stay away from all that stuff's going to trigger anything. I work with a lot of people in recovery. So like, I know like we all, a lot of people in recovery have food issues, are food disordered eating. So I'm very mindful of that. A lot of people have it, shall I say. So I'm very mindful of that. And I really try to make it a very like lifelong educational process where you learn a lot about the body and not have to be taking a ton of medications. You learn what supplements are right for you. It's very individual.
Yeah.
So that's what I do now.
I love that.
It's good stuff.
That is so amazing. And it's so like life-changing because obviously we need food to survive.
Yeah.
But like food can also be causing us a lot of pain.
Yes.
And looking at these, like you said, like reading magazines or like all these like fitness influencers, you know, like, oh, just run harder, just run faster. Just lift heavier, you know?
And then I get it. Like when my clients call, I'm like, yeah, you want to take a bat to their fucking head. I get it.
Yeah. It's hard because
you were born with a really good, like, you know, but.
Yeah. But everyone is like not the same. Yeah. Everyone is not the same. And I think it's important, like you said, to really get down to the root cause of these blanket statements because like, no one wants to be on medication for the rest of their life to just like suppress these symptoms when really like you, there's people like you out there who are helping educate and people heal themselves.
Yeah.
Which is like the whole thing, right? We're healing our minds, we're healing our bodies, we're healing our spirits.
Yeah, you got to do it all. I always say it's like a wheel. Like this year was 2023 was my mental emotional, because that's the one thing I have not done a lot of. Like I'm not relapsing again. I'm not like, so I'm spending a fortune on, a fortune on my health. But that's another thing. It's like people are like, well, it's too much money. Well, there's a lot of free wellness you can do, number one.
Like, sure.
And like it's the best investment you could ever make. Like, would you rather be bloated and feel like shit and wear that Gucci bag? Rather wear like a really gnarly, disgusting Target shirt, but look fine as hell. You know what I mean? But
feel better. Yeah.
Not bloated, like buy your Target shirt and spend the money on your health.
Right.
I mean, I'm spending a fortune still. Like I got really sick again and it turns out I have a lot of like mouth issues, probably partially from my drug thing. So now I look more like a meth addict than I did when I was using meth. I'm literally like pulling teeth out and like working with a biological dent. I mean, it's costing me a fortune, but like your health is all you have.
Yeah, and it really is.
Like, for your listeners, like you took the step to, so if you can get sober, then you should tackle the next steps because it's important.
Yeah,
for sure.
Totally. Oh my God. Health is like, health is wealth, man. Like,
I know, right? Sure. That's a quote.
It's so true.
Yeah.
So Samantha, where can we find you? Where are you on the world wide web?
I'm, my biggest platform would be Instagram. So it's CFIT Living. So it's SEEFIT and then living. Mm-hmm. It's not like the letter, but it's like the C.
Yeah,
I know. I'm always like, I need to do a play on my like actual business name. I never have done that. And then it's Samantha Lander. It's under CFIT on Facebook.
Okay.
Or www.cfitpt.com. Perfect. But I have a lot of free, like I put a lot of free health tips and stuff up on Instagram all the time.
Yeah, you do. You have a lot of like infographics to help people. And then you also have a free like 45-minute discovery call to help people. Like that's huge.
Yeah. I love that. I feel like it's like chairing a meeting or helping someone keeps you sober. I feel like doing discovery calls keeps my health in line sort of too.
Yeah.
I love hearing people's health journeys and their stories.
Yeah. And then like how you can help them and educate them. Cause you are such a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah. I try. Yeah. So
you are so humble.
Yeah. I try that too.
Well, Samantha, thank you so, so much for your time, your knowledge, and your experience. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm honored to be on. When you DM'd me, I was like, she finally noticed me.
This is why I love having a podcast. You can see someone's Instagram highlight reel and not know a thing about their life and think that their life is just perfect or peachy keen. This is the point of having this podcast, is to have these honest, real conversations about where we came from and how we got to where we are now. As always, thank you so much for listening. Please make sure to rate, subscribe, and leave your feedback about the podcast. We love to hear your comments and suggestions. And of course, sharing is caring. If you know someone, a friend, family member, loved one, who needs to hear something in this podcast or any other of our episodes, sharing is caring. Hit that share button and share the episode with them. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at A Sober Girls Guide. And stay tuned because LA Sober Girls, we are coming to you. In October 8th, we are doing a live podcast event and we love to have you as our guest. Head to asobergirlsguide.com for more information or check us out on Instagram. We are posting updates all the time about our upcoming event. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.